World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I love my job. I mean, I don't even know if this is a job, but whatever this is, I love it. I don't know about you. It's absolutely changed my life. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. Lord, this is the day you made. We rejoice and be glad in it. And let the words of our lips, meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight. For the past 2,393, this is show number 2,393. I don't know how many years that is. Somebody's better at math than me. Been a long time. I know this, that for 2,393 pretty much consecutive 5 days a week, if this is making sense, I started my day off with the gospel. That alone is life-changing. If you guys would just think about that. Think about the busyness of your day. You get up in the morning, you got all this stuff you got to do, and you're getting dressed, you're shaving, and just taking a shower and planning your day, and boom, next thing you know, you're out the door and you're at work, and maybe you say a prayer on the way to work. Maybe you do, but it's the busyness of life. And for me, I'm talking about me now. I get up at 5:30 in the morning, and I get up at 5:30 in the morning, and I begin my spiritual preparation for the day. And the spiritual preparation for the day is digging into the truth to bring truth to you guys. And from my perspective, truth, and I don't know what's true. Sometimes I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I don't know. The Pope's dead, right? The Pope's dead. Can I tell you something? As a guy raised Catholic, I never got that Pope thing. I mean, I get it, but I never got it. I never got it. I couldn't understand. So now this guy's dead. Now they're going to get another guy. They're going to put another guy in there for a bunch of years, and he's going to take the church wherever he wants to. Anyway, I don't get distracted. Folks, listen, true spiritual growth only comes from you and the time you spend with the Lord. That's really it. Now, not that this isn't good, but I would hope that at the end of this program, you meditate on what we talked about, maybe not just today, but maybe even tomorrow, maybe even tonight, that you begin to think about the things that we've discussed here on Coach Dave Live. And I hesitate to call it a church because I don't feel it's a church yet. It's certainly a fellowship. But it's changed my life. I get up every morning, 5 days a week, and Christ is first and foremost. Because why? I got to prepare some kind of show here, whatever we would call that. And Spencer, go to Webster's real quick and type in the word religion. I hate religion. Everybody repeat after me. I hate religion. Okay. I hate religion. And if there's nothing worse than having somebody identify me or you, it's happened many times, by the way. This is Coach Dave. He's very religious. What does that even mean? I'm very religious. Well, it's people don't know what to, they don't know what else to call it when they find someone who truly loves the Lord, follows the Lord, tries to obey the Lord. The only word they can put out there is religious. I'm about the farthest thing you could ever get from religious. I'm just telling you, I am. See, it says here, religion. I love going to Webster's because this is written 200 years ago, when language was different than what it is today. Language evolved, right? Something that was queer used to be odd. Now queer has become something totally different, right? You with me? Words change. Change the words and you change the world. So Webster says that this word seems originally to have signified an oath or vow to the gods, or the obligation of such an oath or vow, which was held very sacred by the Romans. Can somebody explain this to me? Again, free thought here. Roman Catholic, Pope's dead. Roman Catholic. What does that even mean? Roman Catholic. I would like to be an American Christian. Anybody else out there like to be that? Or a Christian American? What do you mean I'm a Roman Catholic? It always bothered me. But anyway, religion, in its most comprehensive sense, includes a belief in the being and the perfections of God, in the revelation of his will to man, and in man's obligation to obey his commands. Religion teaches in a state of reward and punishments, and man's accountableness to God, and also true godliness or piety. By the way, piety is acting religious, with a practice of all moral duties. It therefore comprehends theology as a system of doctrines or principles, as well as practical piety. We're going to have to look up that word, Spencer. Hang on a minute. For the practice of moral duties, without a belief in a divine lawgiver, without reference to his will or commands, is not religion. Part number two, religion as distinct from theology is godliness or real piety in practice. We got to look up piety. Consisting in the performance of all known duties to God and to our fellow man. That's religion. But another form of religion is as distinct from virtue or morality. Consists in the performance of the duties that we owe directly to God from a principle of obedience to his will. Anybody besides me in the Catholic Church used to do the Stations of the Cross? Anybody, some Catholics out there, you know what they do. And I would sit there and I'd watch a church. They'd do the Stations of the Cross, and they would wave the incense. And I mean, it was all just tradition. I didn't know what the heck it was, right? But that was a religious tradition. And unfortunately, we have fallen into the trap of religious tradition. What was the word I said you need to look up, Spencer? I forgot it already. What was the word?
Piety,
thank you. Look up piety. Pious, piety. Piety in principle is a compound of veneration, of reverence of the Supreme Being, and his love and character. Veneration means love, adoration, accompanied with love. And piety in practice is the exercise of these affections in obedience to his will and devotion to his service. Piety is at its finest. When you cut it right down, it's giving the appearance of being religious. That's piety. It's the only proper and adequate relief of decaying man. Reference of parent. Okay, so to be pious means you look religious. You have a form of godliness, denying the power of, the Bible says. That's piety. Piety. So the Pope, I'm not beating up on the Pope. So the Pope gets up there and he does a service, and he's got on all types of garments. Hat means something. Something around his neck, that means something. His shoes mean something. Folks, that's all religious piety, in my opinion. I'm not criticizing those of you who follow it. God bless you. Do whatever the Lord would have you to do. But somewhere along the line, we lost the gospel. Spencer, look that word up. Gospel. Somewhere along the line, we lost the gospel. We did. Gospel is the history of the birth, life, actions, death, resurrection, ascension, and doctrines of Jesus Christ. It's not about being Baptist or Methodist or Lutheran or a Pope or Cardinals. It isn't about any of that stuff, folks. Organized religion has just become another hierarchical structure. Look, if you're a Southern Baptist, I want you to know that your pastor answers to the Southern Baptist Convention. The guys at the top tell him what he can and can't do. If you're a Lutheran, same thing. If you're a Methodist, same thing. It has become a governmental structure, not a personal relationship with Jesus. Somebody say amen. I got one friend out there. Sometimes I need validated.
Amen.
Because what I'm trying, right, what I'm trying to help all of you to see is that a lot of the people that you deal with and a lot of the people that I deal with, they have religion. They don't have Christ. They have a form of godliness. See, the gospel said to have been, the gospel is said to have been preached to Abraham by the promise, and these shall all nations be blessed. It's called the gospel of God, gospel of Christ, gospel of salvation, different types of the gospel. The gospel means good news to tell others. So to spread the gospel doesn't mean to tell people they got to do the Stations of the Cross on Maundy Thursday. It doesn't mean they have to go confess to a priest. That's all religion. You with me? Everybody with me? Okay. And folks, I don't care who you are, where you are. Most of our religious systems are steeped in that tradition. Whatever that church would be, that's their tradition. That, in my opinion, is religion. Religion's destroyed America in a lot of ways, by the way. The supernatural. You go. I was doing a study because I'm getting a show ready for you on the Nephilim, the fallen angels, the giants. Do you have any idea when you dig in, you do the history, do you have any idea how real that is? The Nephilim, the fallen angels. Have you done any research? Do you really understand that? And I bet there's not one in 1,000. That might even be too high. I bet there's not one in 10,000 Christians, other than those in Coach Dave Live or some other places, that if you went to them and asked them about the Nephilim, they would have no idea what you're talking about. Say, raise your hand, Coach. That's me. Yeah, Coach, I run into them. They don't have any idea what they're talking about, right? But they know about the Stations of the Cross. They know about all that other religious stuff, but are missing, in my opinion, the heart of what's going on. Seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. They're missing all that. They're missing it. The reality of evil, the existence of evil, and how Satan, from the very beginning, has been the counterbalance to God. It's a spiritual war. Who's going to rule and reign in the hearts of men? Look, folks, Jesus Christ is King of Kings. He is going to crush the devil. But in the meantime, there's a war over who's going to get the most followers. Do you understand it? You understand that? And the only way that if you, Bob Dylan, the prophet Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. And folks, if you aren't serving the Lord, you're serving the devil.
Boom.
It's that simple. And so you look at what's going on politically, ask yourself this question. Are those guys in elected offices, are they serving God? What? No, they're not. They're probably, dare I say it, maybe they're serving their denomination. That ain't the same. So the whole world is in, well, not really, but sort of in explosion because the Pope's dead. The Pope's dead. My opinion, I've told you this before, former Catholic, I think I'm allowed to say this. I talked to some of my Catholic friends and I asked them, what's going on with the Pope? What the heck? And I've had many of my Catholic, not many, a handful of my Catholic friends say, oh, he's not Catholic. So what? He's the vicar of Christ. Yeah, he's not Catholic. Get into the Latin Mass and communion. You guys, y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't want to get into all that stuff. Are you with me? You with me now? And so then the people who are Protestants, what makes somebody a Protestant? What was Martin Luther protesting? Was he protesting Christianity? No. He was protesting the fact that the Pope at that time and his people were teaching things that were not in the Bible. That's what he protested. That's what he put. Was it how many theses did he pound on the door? 84? Was it 84? Whatever number it was. Martin Luther went there, pounded on the door, said, you're teaching this stuff, and ain't none of it in the Bible. And that started the Protestant movement. And then as we got into the Protestant movement, just hang with me a second here, okay? This is important for us to understand. As we got into the Protestant movement, there was no central focus or direction of Protestantism. That's how we got all the different denominations, because this denomination believes this, and 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 this denomination believes in speaking in tongues, and this one thinks speaking in tongues is of the devil. Because why? There was no real set religious system. We could get into the Jesuits and everything that happened along there and everything, right? We would have to be honest to say that really, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. The average Catholic couldn't care less what the Pope says. Would anybody agree with that? The average Catholic, they don't care what the Pope says. They care maybe what their bishop says, maybe what their local priest says. They couldn't care less. They don't care about the Pope. So now we got a dead Pope. Now we're going to get a new one. And if you don't think that there's going to be a political fight, a political fight in the Catholic Church to see which version of Catholicism we're going to get. That's what's going to break loose in front of us now. As they go out and try to, they're going to go out and vote in a new head of the Catholic Church. You do know that, right? They vote him in. They go out and they vote him in. It's like they have their own little Congress. And they vote him in. I wonder if there's any politicking going on in there. I wonder if this guy who's going, maybe wants to be Pope, and this guy wants to be Pope. I wonder if they're building up allegiances, because they know that, man, if this guy gets to be Pope and I'm supporting this guy, I'm gonna get some benefits out of this. And these guys over here said, no, we want this Pope, because if he gets, you know what I'm talking about. It's just political. It's political, except it's not. It's supposed to be sacred, and we have made Christianity, oh, so much of what it's not supposed to be. Now, I'm going to shift gears on here real quick. So hang in there with me. What is the gospel? What's the gospel? Because the Bible says that there is no gospel at all. Gospel is supposed to be good news. Good news. What's the good news? What's the good news? You're a sinner. You're a savior. Christ came, saved you from your sins. That's the good news. That's the gospel. All this other rigmarole, whatever that word is, it just becomes religious activities, religious behaviors. And if we're not careful and understand the infilling of the Holy Spirit and being born again, receiving Christ, understand that the Spirit of Christ dwells inside of you. It dwells inside of you. And that we need to yield our members. That means our mind, our activities, everything we do. Yield our members to the obedience of Christ. If we would just do that. I'm going somewhere today. Hang with me. Pull up, I didn't number them this morning. I had some problems this morning. Pull up Run for Your Life, David Wilkerson. Friends, we are in a, what's the word I'm looking at? We are in a, I can't think of it, doesn't matter. We're in a crucible in American Christianity. We're the crucible. Because what they're teaching us, for most of us, is no gospel at all. It's not a gospel, folks. Now, we call it the prosperity gospel. You've heard of that, right? The prosperity gospel. What about the gospel of salvation? What about the gospel of healing? What about the gospel of... See, there could be all kinds of gospels. Gospel means good news. Good news. So the prosperity gospel is what? It's good news. God wants you to be rich. And raise your hand out there if you don't want to be rich. Oh, that's what I thought. Everybody wants to be rich, right? Everybody wants to be rich. Well, say, Coach, why do you want to be rich? Well, I want to be rich because I'd like to bless others. I would like to bless others. I wish I was a billionaire. I'd be giving away. I'd be blessing so many people if I had the ability to be able to do it. I'd love to do that. But the prosperity gospel isn't for you to get rich and have a bigger house and bigger home and be able to be a member of the golf club and have a boat. And that's not the gospel. That is a gospel, which is no gospel at all. And we live in an age where the prosperity gospel, I'm going somewhere today, where the prosperity gospel has ruined the real gospel. This is from David Wilkerson. You guys remember him at Times Square Church. I've played this before in the past. But this is really, really critical. I'm going to talk a little bit today. Well, if you're a pastor out there, you know, I think of Tom Gill and Clint, Dale Socha, Tim Tubra. I'm forgetting others. It's just coming through my head, right? Why'd you become a pastor? Back when you felt like you were called into the ministry. Why? What were you called in the ministry to do? Were you called in the ministry to have a big bustling church? Is that what it was? Big flashy, have a TV show. People come to you, fill your church, 500 people in there you don't even know. Is it really what you were called to do? Because, you know, I've had people say, hey, you need to start a church. So I said, you know what? Last thing we need is another church. That's the last thing we need is another church. David Wilkerson, go ahead and play that, friends.
Listen to me.
Stop it. This was a Sunday after 9/11 that David Wilkerson gave this 5 minute in his church. Follow Sunday after 9/11. Go ahead.
Listen to me like you've never listened to me ever in your life. We have got to lay our lives down for the purposes of God. This is not a Sunday school picnic, the Church of Jesus Christ. This is not an invitation to have continuous good times. This is a war for the souls of men. Come out from among them. Run for your life. Because this is about your life. It's not just about an opposing theology or conflicting viewpoint on Jesus. This is about your life. My mind is forever branded with the story that I heard of police officers from the city of New York, as people were fleeing from a crumbling building. There were police officers and firemen and others that were running towards the building saying, run for your life at their own peril. And in some cases, I believe they knew they were going to die, but there was a sense of duty. I was crying out to God. I said, God, oh, Jesus, don't let my sense of duty be less for your kingdom than these beloved firemen and policemen were for those that are perishing in the fallen towers. We're living in a generation when truth is falling into the streets. I want to be among those that are not running away from the conflict, but running into the conflict and saying, run for your life. Run from gospels that focus only on success and prosperity. Run! Run from those who use the name of Christ only for his personal gain. Run from those that are picking your pocket in the name of Jesus. Run! Run from gospels that only focus on self-improvement. Run! Run from churches where men and not Christ are glorified. Run! Run! Body of Christ, run! Get out! Don't touch the unclean thing! Run from churches in America and Canada where there is no Bible. There's no cross in the theology. There's no soul-searching word. There's no repentance from sin. There's no mention of the blood of Jesus. Run! It's unclean! Run! Run from churches where you're comfortable in your sins. If you come into the house of God and you've got sin in your life and you're not convicted of it, you're at a table of devils. Run from pulpits that are filled with political men who are using the pulpit of God for a personal political agenda. Run! Run from those who preach division between races and cultures. Run! Run! Get out! Turn it off! Get away from it! They know nothing of God. Run from ungodly, spasmodic movements and endless, empty prophesying. Beloved church, run for your life. Run from preachers that stand and tell stories and jokes. Run like you've never run before. Run! Run!
I want to, that's heavy, isn't it? Huh? When's the last time you, for the sake of the gospel, did something that was going to cost you something? When was the last time? When was the last time you in your church were challenged to do something that was going to cost you something? Might cost you everything. When was the last time that you walked into your church and your pastor went in front of the congregation and said something that he knew was going to cause some people to leave? When? Back when I was coaching, we called that addition by subtraction. Sometimes you had to run some things off. Sometimes you had to get rid of some people. You know what I'm talking about out there, right? Like I've said this a number of times about me. I hope you all say this about you. When they lay me in that casket and the lines of people come, I hope there's a line of people peeing on me and a line of people crying. Because I want them to know where I stood. There's nothing more dangerous in the gospel than a man that everybody loves. Yeah, run for your life, baby. Run for your life. I'll get you there in a second, Mel. I got to show you this. Pull up. I got two things. I'm going to run through it really, really quickly, okay? Best I can. The richest pastors in America. I didn't number them this morning. Richest pastors in America. And you know what happens? Everybody wants to be like him. I want to be like Mike. 15 richest pastors in America. Think about this, folks. Nowhere in the gospel will you find Jesus calling people to be rich. Kenneth Copeland is worth $300 million. What's something to say there, Judd? Robertson, $100 million. Osteen, he, not his ministry, has a wealth of $100 million. Benny Hinn, Stephen Furtick, Andy Stanley, $45 million. Creflo Dollar, $30 million. Rick Warren, $25. Will you look at this, folks? Poor old Joyce Meyer down there, she's tickling along only at $8 million. Poor girl. She's only worth $8 million. Preaching the gospel. Look, I don't have any problem with guys, people getting wealthy. I don't have any problem with that. Something wrong with them staying wealthy. You know my opinion. There they are. Are there any more? I'm 50, that top 15? I don't know how long ago this was. So what happens? What happens? So people, pastors say, I want to be like Mike. I want to be like Mike. Get me a church. I'm going to build me a church. I'm going to preach a prosperity gospel. And I preach a prosperity gospel. Oh, I'm going to fill it in there and people are going to give money to me. Okay, can I show you what's going on? Hang on for me. Pull up for me. Where is it? It's right under Run for Your Life, Knox pages. I haven't spoken about this and I'm not going to. This is local here. Yeah, that's what I want, Spence. This is local. This is local. One of the largest prosperity gospels in Ohio, maybe in the world. This has been brewing, gone on. The son has been indicted on 27 sexual abuse charges. Hang on. I've lived this. I pray for this family. There's nothing more horrific than to see something that a child has done, and they have to pay a price, nothing more. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you know, right? But this church, I'm not going here to beat this church up. It's prosperity focused, folks. It's a prosperity focused church, partnering with Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin and I wonder how many people knew this was going on. This just happened yesterday. Look, I'm not here to beat up on these. I can't imagine. You lay your head down. I've lived it. You lay your head down on your pillow at night, knowing the price is going to have to be paid. But the question I ask myself, Betty, is how could people be so deceived? How could people be so deceived? Can I tell you how they were so deceived? They wanted to be rich. If you went to this church, they told you how to be rich. And they said being rich is the gospel. Didn't you know that? Didn't you know that if you were rich, if you were a Christian, you get to be rich. God wants you to be rich. And people flocked to it. They had campuses. 3 campuses, I think. Are you going to a church that has campuses? This grieves me. It grieves you not because of what went on there, but for the far-reaching damage that this does to Christianity, to the lost.
Amen.
That I personally have had to defend to people. Well, they're sure good Christians. I know a lot of Christians like that. Yeah, amen. Somebody say amen out there. Yeah, Paul. Entire Catholic Church. The pedophilia in the entire Catholic Church all covered up because what? The love of money, which is the root of all evil. I don't know. Do these folks know this was going on with their son? Did they know it? 2 things I would say. How could they not? And what if they did? I pray for them. I don't say, boy, they got what they did. It's a smudge on Christianity. It's a black eye for all of us on Christianity. Can't tell you the number of people who have forwarded this to me saying, Coach, did you see this? Meaning, Christians are frauds. That's what they were telling me. Christians were frauds. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to get rich. Run for your life. Run for your life, David Wilkerson said. No, not here. Not at this church. Many like it on, hey, Daystar. You guys following what's going on Daystar? On you say no. Satellite, right? Huh? This people, they're part of Daystar. These people are part of Daystar. Worldwide ministry on the satellite, preaching to everybody how to get rich. I don't know whether they're Christians or not. I'm making no value judgment on that as far as where they are with their own personal salvation. But I can tell you this, that gospel is no gospel at all. It's no gospel at all. We're told that we have to, that evil men have crept in unaware and changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. In other words, come here, give us a lot of money, we'll show you how to get rich, buy our books, just keep coming and you're going to be rich. You guys think I'm making this up? I haven't been to this church in my life. I know thousands of them just like it. And then know of good men of God who are out there struggling to try to keep the doors open. And whether you realize this or not, the mega church, are you looking at me? All the mega churches did was empty smaller churches. That's all it did. They had good music and it was an experience. You could go there, good music and smoke machines and pretty choir and program. Oh, I'm going to go there. So 5,000 people come there and the pastor doesn't know 10% of them, doesn't even know who they are, 10% of them. And the little guy down the road who's doing everything he can try to do just to be faithful and to call upon God is losing people to the show. To the show. They're going to go to World Harvest. They got a show that goes on there. They're going to go to Faith Life Church. Why, they have a production. They have a choir. And I feel so good when I'm there. Come on now. You know, I'm telling you the truth. This is what we're fighting. I'll catch my breath. Come on in, Mel.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. So I put a post on Facebook the other day under Liberty Action Network, and it said, unbiblical Christianity is popular and biblical Christianity is unpopular. Amen. And, you know, I've belonged to a lot of different denominations. There was somebody who came up with a question saying, well, which denomination is good?
Yeah.
And I said, do you think that God wants 40,000 different denominations? And so kind of where I'm at is, you know, read the Bible for yourself. Don't be fed baby food from, you know, a church, and then try to find a fellowship or, you know, a church that matches up with what you're reading in the Bible. The problem is all churches think that they're biblical.
They do.
And so it's confusion created by the enemy, but you know, we have a bad root. I mean, everything really came out of that Catholic church root. I'm sorry to say, I mean, even, you know, the Reformation came out of that root. So, you know, if we're going to really be biblical, I think that we're going to have to really look at it with fresh eyes.
Amen. So here's what I say, Mel, and I say it over and over and over. Some of you out there right now, you are equipped to do a home fellowship. Do a home fellowship. Because at the end of the day, when that SHTF, you know what that means, right? When it hits the fan, 5,000 people that you're going to church with and all that smoke machines and all that it ain't going to be worth a hoot in hell with you. It's going to be the 5 or 6 people that you really have a bond and a relationship that are going to carry you through. So ask yourself, why are you doing that? Why are you going to that mega church? Why are you doing that? They draw a crowd. So does basketball. So does football. Football draws a huge crowd. Why do people? Because see, it's about emotions and feeling. Oh, I feel so good when I go there. Well, I hate to tell you this. The gospel is about dying to yourself, not about feeling good. It's about dying to yourself, putting yourself last, loving your brother. I often ask, how people can go to church with other people and see them struggling financially. How can you do that? Do you love those people? You love them, but you won't give them any money? I'm not talking about giving to Coach Dave Live. That's what I'm talking about. People that you have friends with, and you won't give them any money. My goodness. If we pulled the money out of the church and gave it to people, we would be surprised. My goodness. We'd be surprised the revival that would break out. I told you this before, and I'm not bragging. Sometimes I'll be in line at Walmart or Kmart or Dartmart, whatever it would be. And sometimes I'll say, hey, I'll buy that for you. Of course, I look to see how much they have first, right? But let's say it's $10. I put that on my bill. I got my cross hat on. Put that on my bill. There's no greater message of the gospel than that one. Those people say, "What? Why would you? Why? Why do you do that? Why?" Well, bro, I'm blessed, man. I'm just blessed. The Lord's good to me. I just like to pass on the blessing. They not fall down. But see, we're trained to give the money to the church. Why? So we're given to the Lord. Oh, the Lord's in the church? Now, I'm for supporting your local church. Don't get me wrong on that. I'm for that. But if you won't help your neighbor because you gave the money to the church, and that's the church's job to do it, how are you ever going to build a personal relationship with somebody you're trying to bring to Christ? You won't give them $30. You won't give them $50. You don't see that they're struggling financially, and you won't give them any money. See, it's the way we've been trained, right? Ever dawn on you that God wants to bless somebody through you? Through you. Yeah. Yeah, God wants to bless them. Give them some money. This whole centralized, top-down Christianity is not the gospel. Anybody want to argue with it? Huh? You guys want to argue with it? Is that what Jesus said? Everybody bring all your money to me. Y'all bring it all in here to me. And then when you bring all that money in here to me, then if you tithe, if you give me 10% of it, then you're all going to be blessed in your own lives. And then you go, and you'll have houses and cars. Yeah. Does anybody think that's the gospel? No, it's about supporting the institution. And I'm not going to ask you for any money today. Vinny, come on in.
Hey, Coach. Well, you know, the purpose of money has been abused because I'm going to type in that question there. Is it part of being rich ignoring child sexual abuse? Because that's what it has to be. In the middle of that community, all that happening, you have to basically walk around with blinders on. Amen. To say that you're not seeing what's going on.
But Vinny, they don't even have to see it. They know what's going on, don't they? They
yes,
know.
They mm-hmm.
Hey, Vinny, let me ask you this. Do you think the Republicans in Congress know what's going on with USAID?
Absolutely.
Oh, come on, baby. Huh? How come there haven't been any indictments yet? Huh? Well, we know why. Because it's going to catch up a few criminals they didn't know were criminals. They were good guy criminals, right?
Boom.
Wow. Craig.
Yeah, we got a lot of things, you know, the Lord's going to work on, right? Ultimately, it's the Lord's church, okay? We can sit there and we can Monday morning quarterback it, but it's Christ's church. He's well aware of it. So
yeah.
He's going to bring it back. He's going to get it in line. And including ourselves. Just, you know, we got to make sure we're looking in our mirrors when we're doing this. But I was just going to bring up Psalm 22, Coach. We need to be faithful and finish that. We got today and we got tomorrow. And that's going to be the 21 days. We started almost 3 weeks ago, actually 3 weeks ago this Tuesday. All right.
Spencer, go ahead and bring that up. Psalm 21, is that what it is today, Craig? 22.
No, it's actually Psalm 22.
Yeah.
And when you get to the end of Luke and Jesus meets his disciples in that room, right? You know, goes back and meets them. You know, after he rose that day, mm-hmm. he said, "It was told to you in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." That's what he says. He references the Psalms. I'm in the Psalms. It's about me. If you can't see Christ in this, well, you need to ask for the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. This is the gospel right here. This in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is the gospel.
Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? By the way, which is what he said on the cross, right? Why art thou so far from helping me from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you don't hear me. And in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. By the way, that's not the nation. That's the people. Our fathers trusted in me. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto you, and you delivered. They trusted in you, and they were not confounded. Who? Our fathers. Our father. Okay. Could apply that in America, could we not? But I'm a worm, and I'm no man. I'm a reproach of men, despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. They're mocking him, right? Where's your God now, buddy? Where's your God now? But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there's none to help. Many bowls have compassed me, strong bowls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening, and roaring lion. Talking about the people attacking me, not actual wolves. Not actual bulls. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked. Wow, really? The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them. They cast lots upon my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, hast thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword. My darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brothers. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye, the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you seed of the church. Well, when's the last sermon you heard on the fear of the Lord? For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. And all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship upon thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's. And he is the governor among the nations. And all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. And all they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can live alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him, shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. That shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Hey, folks, they've lied to you. They've lied to you. We should expect persecution. We should expect trials and tribulations. We should expect it. It's in those trials and in those tribulations and in those problems that Christ is glorified, either by mercy and grace to carry you through them, or by victory to giving, or by being glorified by giving you victory over them. Every day of life's like a football game. You're going to win today or you're going to lose today. Well, you might lose today. Well, there's another game tomorrow. You might win tomorrow. But if you sit there and you continually look at the mess around you and focus on the mess around you rather than on the deliverance that's coming, Lord, what are you trying to show me in this? I'm not a name it, claim it guy. I'm going to tell you this, there are a lot of you out there that spend more time complaining to the Lord than praising the Lord. Somebody say amen. Vinny, you're always good for an amen. Somehow you think complaining to the Lord is praising the Lord. What'd the Bible say? Yet though he slay me, still will I praise him. Somebody come on in. Who wanted to come in? Let me play one more thing for you here real quick before I get off of this. Play, where is it? The Religion of Business. The next last one. The next to the last one. Money, religion. What's this? It's a new docuseries that's going out about the American church. The name it, claim it. I felt really good at church. Boy, I went there today and boy, I feel really good. I feel really, did you meet the need of anybody besides you? Well, I don't even know them. You know, you don't even know them. You go to church with them. You don't even know them. But you're blessed. Go ahead.
From an investigator standpoint, you're looking at what drives this machine. And what drives a machine so often is tithes.
Tithing is a test. He gave his son, and you want to argue about 10%.
We've got about 1.8 million nonprofits registered with the IRS today. Over $4 trillion in assets.
You have the for-profit world, you have the nonprofit world, and inside that nonprofit world, you have religious nonprofits or churches.
How do you stop people from taking the money out of the organization to the people who are controlling it?
Greetings, Father. I've come to request an indulgence for my mother.
Within the church, is tithing voluntary or is it compulsory?
Does a 990 tell you how much equipment they have?
They have $111 million worth of aircraft.
We do not want this church or any other church destroyed or intimidated by the government.
Yo, buddy.
Got a text message from a mega church pastor out of Minnesota.
Mac would be interested in sitting down with us and having a conversation.
That's huge. We'll drop everything and fly up to him.
An informant brought revival capital of the world to our attention.
They have an estimated net assets of $265 billion.
I have a question for you, actually.
No, we're not going to answer the question.
No, my question is,
you answer our question.
Where is Wisdom Heights?
See, I need a gun.
Whoa, did you just flash your gun?
Hey, Lauren, we might be having a rescue. She needs safety for the daughter. The daughter is not safe.
So people are donating, and it's going to silence a rape.
Did he have HIV?
I'm pushing away. I mean, I'm trying to hold on to my dress.
He told me not to tell anyone, especially my husband.
Hi, my name is Nathan Apfel. I just had questions pertaining to housing allowance and also his salary. And then also, we heard that was ordained and also takes a housing allowance.
How is the sermon? You are being detained.
Separation of church and state is just a recipe for churches to be a potential for fraud.
That'd be good, huh? That'd be good. So that gets into the whole 501c3, yada, yada, yada. It's none of the government's business. If there's a separation between the church and state. I don't know how I got on this, other than that's for us to understand that it's been the prosperity gospel that has destroyed American Christianity. If you want my truth. The fact that the prosperity, we have sold the anointing of God for 30 pieces of silver. And the American church believes that you're only blessed if you're blessed financially. I get up every day. I don't know if I've told you this. I think I'm allowed to now. We have 10 and a half grandbabies. We're going to have another grandbaby. And I get up every day. And I don't hit my knees and thank God for a bank account or my house. I thank God for those precious little arrows that he's given to us. Potential new one coming. We've lost all focus on what matters. We're allowing them to train our children in the doctrines of demons in public schools. And the church won't arise and push back against it to rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter. They're being led to the slaughter. You want to start a church? You want to grow a church? Make it about money. They'll come for miles to be validated of their greed. Somebody come on in. I got six minutes. I don't really have much else to say. Go ahead, Johnny.
Why don't we pull our kids out of those schools? Are we zombies?
Why don't we stop paying for them? Why the
We're
hell are
zombies.
We paying for them? Well, that's what I'm at. Why the body of Christ? See, the body of Christ, Johnny, some of the pastors think the schools are good. They don't even get it. They think the schools are good. that Caesar's training our kids. The pastors are not going to speak against the schools. Why? Because people will leave. Because it convicts them. And if you say to them, get your children out of public schools, the parents are conflicted. Why? Because they love money. They don't want to stay home and homeschool their own children. They have to go get money so they can have stuff, not realizing it's all happening because we've allowed the government to overstep its bounds. That inflation, all of that stuff, is killing Christianity. And we think we're supposed to, oh, well. Hey, look, wake up, baby. Let's wake up. Let's wake up right now. Let's wake up. And I'm going to say it over and over and over and over, over again. We have a president of the United States who wants to do away with a Department of Education. Why in the hell, pardon me, is the church not banging the drums and marching? Yes, yes, yes.
Boom.
Are we? No, we're not doing that. No. Because why? Well, we have public education. I can go work and my kid can go learn about masturbation while I'm out working, earning money. Elizabeth, come on in.
The church doesn't want to say anything because teachers and principals tithe. So do you think the pastor's going to want to send away the tithers?
Oh, my goodness, huh? Plus, they have a good football team, too, Elizabeth. You know, come on now. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. We all know that, don't we? Yeah. Johnny? Your hand's still up, Johnny. I don't know if I'm, maybe you just didn't take it down. Lauren?
No, I'm there.
Go ahead, Johnny.
I was just going to say that we're in too deep. For the people, they figure they're in so deep they can't get out. But see, now it's not working out. It's the truth is coming, like that ball I talked about the other day. You can't hold that ball under the water. It's going to come up.
Going to pop up.
This is what's going on now. Everybody's getting frantic. Everybody's getting frantic because the truth is surfacing. And I'm telling you.
Johnny, that's why they hate Trump. I'm talking to you guys. Love him or like him. I don't care which one. He is a disruptor. And do we ever need to be disrupted or not? Do we need to be disrupted? Yes, we need to be disrupted. And see, we're okay with it till it disrupts us. Lauren.
Just a couple of thoughts real quick. Since Trump's dismantling the Department of Education and everybody's having a hissy fit over it, it doesn't make any sense. Because you complain that nobody's doing anything about this whole trans thing and them raping our kids' minds, yet you don't want them to dismantle it, which makes no sense. And like here in Illinois, we've got Governor Pritzker shoving out $20 million to 116 different churches and paying them 3 days after the election to keep his agenda. Like I shared before, the church that my daughter goes to, Governor Pritzker donated $96,000 to them.
He bought them.
And that's exactly what's going on. They've been bought.
Amen. So friends,
they are the Judas, right? They sold themselves for the 30 pieces of silver.
See, listen, there's an old saying, in order to have something you've never had, you're going to have to do something you've never done. We'll say it again. In order to have something you've never had, you're going to have to do something you've never done. And I want to ask you, how many of you out there have thought on your own, maybe some of your grandparents, what about a homeschool co-op? What about a church in your neighborhood where a group of children come every morning to be trained by mommy and daddies? Why is this so hard? Why isn't there a homeschool co-op? Why does your church not have a homeschool co-op? Go to your pastor and say, Pastor, why are we having our children trained by the government schools when we could be doing it right here? I know of 10 families that would love to be, I'd love to have a Christian education. You can't do that because why? They got to go to work. They got to buy shoes and cars and Hey, folks, those things are all real. But remember, to have something you never had, you got to do something you never done. See you tomorrow.